Israeli forces shoot dead a Palestinian youth near the city of Al Bira in the occupied West Bank. Regime forces also clash with resistance fighters in Tul Kerem. Chinese Foreign Ministry says that the U.S. is a true empire of lies and that after U.S. State Department accused Beijing of manipulating global media. Heavy rains wreak havoc in the northeastern U.S., leaving parts of New York City underwater. Motorists are stranded in flooded streets. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. It's good to have you with us. Now, beginning with our top story, Israeli forces have killed a young Palestinian man, injuring another one in their new attack in the occupied West Bank. According to Palestinian media, regime forces ambushed a young man and opened fire at their vehicle near the city of Al Bira. One of the victims, identified as Mohammed Romani, has succumbed to his injuries. The Hamas resistance movement says that he and his companion were its members. It said that he was a hero who was killed while trying to defend the freedom of Palestinians. According to Palestinian media, confrontations between Israeli troops and Palestinian protesters also took place in different areas in the West Bank, notably in Tul Kerem. In Ariha, Palestinian youth was injured by Israeli fire. Today, Palestinians observe a general strike in Ramallah and other regions of the West Bank. Now, our Ramallah correspondent, Mona Kendil, tells us more about the latest Israeli brutality.
The military declared that two Palestinians arrived at the entrance to the illegal settlement of Pesagot, built on the lands of Al Biri, adjacent to Ramallah, and that they threw Molotov cocktails at the Israeli military checkpoint there. And thus the Israeli forces opened fire, killing one and wounding the other. Mohammed Jibril Mani, 18 years old, was shot and killed. His friend was wounded and both were arrested. The body of Mohammed, of course, was confiscated by the Israeli forces, and the military declared that he succumbed to his injuries. Hamas movement issued a statement later saying that Mohammed was one of its members and he supports Hamas and he was killed while defending the Palestinian lands and trying to face the Israeli forces' brutality.
Women journalists working for alternative media from across the globe have gathered in the Iranian city of Mashhad to attend the International Khurshid Media Festival. 100 journalists and media activists from 40 countries are in attendance. This year's event has been dedicated to slain Palestinian journalist Shirin Abu Akla. She was murdered by the Israeli regime last year. Our correspondent Yusuf Mishahmedi joined us from the venue of that event and told us more about that.
The main goal of this media festival is to allow a platform for journalists and independent journalists in particular to connect and network and to be able to connect to each other in order for future cooperation with other outlets across the world. And also, another issue is to see exactly what's happening on the ground in Iran, particularly the situation of women in Iran. Of course, the title of this first media conference is Women and Enlightening the Future Generations in Public Opinion, and that is a focus on how women play an important role in shaping public opinion. So I've been talking to journalists coming from different countries across the world, from Latin America, from Africa, from countries from the Far East, such as Indonesia and China. We have journalists coming from Russia. For most of them, it's the first time they are visiting Iran, so it's quite interesting for them to see how women journalists work in Iran, and of course about how much freedom they enjoy and the challenges that they face. They're also sharing their own experiences as women journalists working in their own countries. For example, countries, journalists coming from African countries have been saying that watching Iranian journalists work in Iran is quite inspiring, considering the obstacles and challenges that women journalists face in Africa. Also in Kashmir, we had a couple of journalists coming here and sharing their experiences. Then also there are some panel discussions on the sidelines of this first media festival, which are discussing media itself from different aspects and the fact that mainstream media is trying to set the narrative by highlighting some parts of the truth and ignoring some other parts for it to fit in the narrative that they want people to believe.
Now, China has slammed the United States as, quote, a true empire of lies, following a State Department report that accused Beijing of information manipulation. Chinese Foreign Ministry says that the report has disregarded facts. It says the agents of the U.S. State Department that produced the report were the source of false information and the command post of cognitive warfare. On Thursday, the State Department accused Beijing of manipulating global media through censorship, data harvesting, and covert purchases of foreign news outlets. It claimed that China has hit major setbacks when targeting democratic countries due to local media and civil society pushback. The report came as Beijing is seeking to combat Western media that are trying to offer negative images of China. The heavy rains overnight have triggered flash flooding in New York City, turning the streets into fast-moving rivers and grinding subway travel to a halt. Images from around New York show cars half-submerged and traffic snarled, with some major roads completely blocked. The subway system has also been impacted, with several lines closed in Brooklyn. A New York airport also closed one of its terminals. The mayor has declared a state of emergency across the New York City, urging people not to venture out. The people complaining that officials have been slow to react to the situation. New Yorkers say that they are dissatisfied with transit delays.
I'm lost. I feel terrible. I don't even know where I'm going because I'm accustomed to catching a particular train. Now I come, the train is delayed. I don't know when. It's disgusting.
Now I have myself and another person, we're trying to keep pumping out. You see, he's throwing out the bucket of water, you know, outside. You know, we are really, really suffering. And, you know, we live like any other resident of New York City. And the suffering is severe here.
Now, no deaths or critical injuries have been reported. New York City has had nearly 14 inches of rain so far this month, making it the wettest September since 1882. Observers have warned of flooding chaos as the result of the climate crisis. Now, I've spoken to our correspondent, Colin Campbell, and he says that the flooding has prompted criticism of New York City officials, with some claiming that they were slow to communicate about the storm.
There seems to be a lack of alert or a lack of broadcasting as to how people should handle the floodwaters. Now, we're looking at a situation where about 8 to 10 centimeters of water just fell out of the sky in just a few hours. And so this caused a lot of buildup in many places around New York and New Jersey, of course, just outside of New York there, where you had cars that were stranded. And there were a lot of people who did not seem to know what to do next. Where to go, where to find resources, where to stay away from the flooding. And so some people were trapped. And I think that there was a lack of messaging here from what some people are saying who lived in the area. Now, this storm is not as deadly as when Hurricane Ida passed over this area not too long ago, and there were dozens of deaths. There won't be that many casualties in this type of flooding type of situation. However, there is expected to be extensive damage to buildings because of all the water that fell. Now, there are only about a few hours left for the rain to abate. Rain has slowed down since yesterday afternoon. It was really a deluge that happened Friday afternoon, which really shut down most of New York, especially during rush hour. People had to hurry up and get home and find alternative ways of getting back to their homes because a lot of the public transportation was shut down.
Now, moving on, pilots of Canada's biggest airliner have staged protests in Toronto, demanding better pay and benefits, and this while the talks over a new contract continues. The Air Canada pilots are pressing for higher wages and better scheduling. Currently, their union is engaged in negotiations with Air Canada, and it anticipates that the discussions would persist throughout October. The company's previous decades-long contract ends on Friday. The new contract would cover 4,500 pilots. The protests came after U.S. pilots working for several airlines achieved historic gains and new labor deals over the past few months. A new study shows that Britain's cost of living crisis is set to cause premature deaths among thousands of people this year. Now, millions of Britons have been hit hard by levels of inflation not seen in decades, and that has been blamed on a number of reasons, including the war in Ukraine, COVID, Brexit, and the government's economic policies.
A new study has shown that Britain's cost of living crisis that mainly results from the government's economic policy is set to cause premature deaths among thousands of people this year. The results of the research were published by the BMJ Public Health Journal. The study showed that the cost of living crisis and sustained period of high prices will reduce life expectancy among the people across the country by 6.5% this year. The predicted increase in premature deaths from a baseline of 463 per 100,000 people to 493 per 100,000 equates to thousands of extra deaths a year in the UK. The study says that the most deprived households will experience four times the number of extra deaths than the wealthiest households, with the poorest having to spend a large proportion of their income on energy, the cost of which has soared. Evidence shows low income is associated with poorer health, and that falls in income adversely affects health. According to last month's figures, the UK's inflation stood at 6.7%.
For me, this whole conversation is about whether I heat the house or whether I breathe, and it's so hard to describe what that feels like in real terms because it's an immediate threat to your life.
Although it was down from a high of 11.1%, Britain's inflation still remains the highest among the member states of the group of seven. Meanwhile, there are gloomy predictions about UK's economic prospects. A report by the Washington-based Peterson Institute for International Economics says that the UK economy will shrink this year and in 2024. It says a drop in GDP this year of 0.3% would be followed by a fall of 0.2% next year.
Now, if we look at the data that we've seen recently, obviously there can be some revisions in the GDP data. We saw quite a contraction in July. Now, we are expecting perhaps there are some quirks in the data that we haven't seen as much industrial action recently, and there could be some technical issues and a rebound. But I think the outlook for the rest of this year is quite weak. And we see that, as you've mentioned, in the PMI surveys, both manufacturing and services moving into contraction.
Now, the UK economy is expected to shrink this year and next year. And that's according to a study by Washington-based Peterson Institute for International Economics. It says persistent inflation and a shortage of workers, among other things, will result in a 0.3% drop in the UK's gross domestic product this year.
There are fears that the UK is suffering from structural economic conditions. Factors related to the underlying weakness of the UK economy and the fallout from Brexit will leave the UK behind, while most other developed economies expand. The UK was also suffering from an unequal recovery that benefited better-off households, while the bottom half of the income scale continued to be affected by falling real incomes. Persistent inflation, falling real incomes of low-income households, and a shortage of workers will result in the drop in the country's gross domestic product. Cuts to government spending next year will also drag on economic growth. The central bank held rates at 5.25% at its meeting, and betting on financial markets showed investors expect there will be no change at the next meeting in November. The next move could be upwards should inflation prove to be more stubborn than the central bank's forecast predicts, despite a weakening of economic growth.
I think really what we're seeing is they are worried about the recession. They are worried about weaker growth, and they think that perhaps going into the rest of this year, inflation is likely to continue to decelerate. So what we're seeing is the lagged impact of fairly aggressive monetary tightening really starting to bite. And they're probably thinking, right, that here is a time to pause, but we don't want to get too complacent. There are still a lot of inflationary pressures ahead.
The economic crisis and persistent inflation has caused trouble for the ruling Tories in the UK. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's popularity has fallen to its lowest levels ever. some 68% of Britons currently have an unfavorable view of the Prime Minister, the highest figure since becoming Prime Minister, while only 23% have a favorable view.
Truth is, the floor fell in for millions of families because of their economic mayhem. Yep. The classroom ceilings collapsed because he cut vital school budgets. And now the walls of our national security have been breached because they've ignored repeated warnings. No one voted for these shambles. No one voted for him. So how much more damage do the British public have to put up with before he finally finds the stomach to give them a say?
The 19th edition of Asian Games is underway in the Chinese city of Hangzhou. Iranian athletes continue to compete in that event, and they rank 10th in the overall medal tally so far. Salman Kujura, our correspondent, is in Hangzhou. He updates us in terms of what achievements Iranian athletes have made so far.
Today was also another history-making day for Iranian national teams in table tennis in men's double table tennis. Nushad and Nima Alemia once again defeated Japan, and actually they defeated Japan at semifinal and secured their bronze medal. So this is one of history-making moments for Iran, because, you know, Japan, South Korea and China have always been one of the pioneers, and better say they had the upper hand in table tennis, especially in men's double table tennis. But this time, a bronze medal has been brought for Iran by both brothers, Alemian brothers. Also, another history was made by our shooters at 10-meter pistol shooting in mixed category. And Iran, again, made history and won bronze medal after defeating Pakistan. So this was also another important development for today, which actually injected fresh energy into the Iranian camp, because these two medals actually are very much important. And so, of course, Alemian, Nushad and Nima Alemian, need to also compete with a rival in later stages. In case they win, they may make way into the final stage. So we have to wait. But so far, a bronze medal has been secured for Iran in mixed table tennis, in men's mixed and double table tennis.
That's a wrap for this news bulletin. Goodbye.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. In the limelight.
Chicago has sued Monsanto Corporation for widespread contamination of the Chicago River. A Chicago lawyer has said records show that Monsanto intentionally misled the American public. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Truthout wrote, Chicago is suing the Monsanto Corporation for producing cancer-causing polychlorinated biphenyls, or PCBs. The complaint filed in Cook County Court recently alleges that the company caused widespread contamination across the banks and sediment of the Chicago River, which the city continues to bear the cost of cleanup. The Monsanto Corporation was the sole producer of PCBs, which were used in electrical equipment and other industrial applications in the United States from 1930s through 1977. While the U.S. banned the production of PCBs more than 40 years ago because the chemicals are harmful to human and environmental health, PCBs continue to be released into the Chicago waterways through storm water. For decades, Monsanto knew that its commercial PCB formulations were highly toxic and would inevitably produce precisely the contamination and human health risks that have occurred. Yet Monsanto intentionally misled the public, the complaint said. PCBs are linked to a number of potential health threats, including cancer. And studies have shown that pregnant women who have consumed fish contaminated with PCBs have given birth to children with neurological damage. The lawsuit says the accumulation of PCBs in natural resources and fish in particular poses a public health threat to Chicago residents. As a result of the contamination, Chicago is being required by the Environmental Protection Agency to reduce PCB contamination in storm water that is discharged to Lake Michigan by an estimated 99.6%. The lawsuit added, these violations by Monsanto have caused and will cause the city to incur costs reasonably related to those violations of law. These costs include the cost of cleaning up contaminated sites and reducing PCB concentrations in the city's stormwater. Chicago is following the lead of other cities and states that have used Monsanto, alleging that Monsanto knew of the environmental and health risks of the chemical before they were officially banned. According to a memo published by the Poison Papers Project, the company was aware of the health and environmental problems posed by PCBs at least as early as 1969, 8 years before it stopped producing the chemicals. Mary Richardson Laurie, an attorney for the city of Chicago, said in a statement, records show that Monsanto intentionally misled the public despite knowing the dangers PCBs pose to the environment. We bring this lawsuit to ensure that polluters are held accountable for their actions. Last year, Illinois Attorney General Kwame Roll filed a similar suit against the company, alleging that Monsanto contributed to statewide contamination by producing PCBs. That case is now progressing in federal court. Bayer, the German company which bought Monsanto in 2018, has also agreed to settle other PCB-related lawsuits brought by Pennsylvania, Virginia, and Oregon. Monsanto is also currently facing other lawsuits in Massachusetts, Vermont, and Washington. In a statement, a Monsanto representative told CBS News Chicago that the case is meritless, and the company never manufactured or disposed of PCBs in or near the Chicago area. The company claims the chemicals were instead manufactured by unnamed third parties, although the company's relationship with these firms remains unclear. The statement claims, moreover, the products that are alleged to be the source of any environmental impairments were manufactured by third parties, not Monsanto. Additionally, the city itself may be responsible for water quality impairments, as it has over 200 combined sewage outfalls that discharge into the Great Lakes watershed. This PCB contamination constitutes a substantial and unreasonable interference with rights enjoyed by the public, including rights under Article 11 of the Illinois Constitution. The Chicago lawsuit adds, "This contamination has caused harm that is severe and greater than the city and the public should bear without in compensation." According to various reports, Monsanto is facing other lawsuits in Vermont, Washington, and Massachusetts. Until they were banned in 1979, the man-made organic chemicals made up of carbon, hydrogen, and chlorine were used in a host of household and industrial products, including paint and varnishes, electrical equipment, caulk, insecticides, coolants, and sealants. People exposed to PCBs from eating contaminated food, breathing contaminated air, and drinking or swimming in contaminated water can suffer liver and thyroid problems as well as issues with their immune and reproductive systems. According to the city's lawsuit, PCBs have also been linked to cancer and low birth weight babies, according to the suit.
Ocean of Dua.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll adopt a thematic approach towards supplication, and we'll have a look at supplication from the point of view of different verses of the Holy Quran. And we'll also have a look at some parts of the transmitted supplications as well as the whispered prayers. So stay with us. Allahumma salli salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil fa. Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we said that we are seeing different verses of the Holy Quran when it comes to the stage of closeness. We said when it comes to the state of closeness, we said that this state of closeness is depicted in different verses of the Holy Quran in different stages. We counted up to 7 stages, and we said that these 7 stages are the natural direction for human perfection. So they are clearly depicted in the Holy Quran, and the one has to start from the first stage up to the last. Now, of course, this is what the Holy Quran has introduced, but the ignorant ones choose to stay away from this right path. They do want themselves to be deviated, and it is as though there is nothing in this world except superficial pleasures. They do not want to have other pleasures other than these material issues. We said that based on the transmitted prayers, based on the traditions, we see that our a'imma, our infallible imams, choose to talk to the Almighty Allah when they engage in supplication, and in fact they are teaching us how to supplicate in this manner. When they supplicate, they somehow resort to Almighty Allah from the Almighty Allah. They turn to Him and they remind even ourselves that whatever they have, even the state of being talking to the Almighty Allah, is one of the benefits, is one of the mercies of the Almighty Allah. That's why Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, "Anta alladhi azalta al-aghyar an qulubi ahibbaik." If we are your lovers, if we are those lovers whose hearts are removed from anything and anyone other than you, it is because of you. "Anta alladhi," you are the one who did this. And in fact, the verses of the Quran cover all stages of human development, from the very lowest stage of human fall to the highest degree of human status. And these verses want us to move in the right direction. A cursory comparison between these two verses, I assume, will clearly show the distance between two ways of thinking. One verse says, أَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Wherever you turn, there is Allah's purpose. And the other verse says, إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَابِّ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَصُمُّ الْبُكْمِ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. The vilest of animals surely in the sight of Allah are deaf, are the dumb, or those who do not understand. This verse shows that the ambitious, self-centered man who interprets everything in the light of his own desires, who interprets everything in the light of material issues, at the time of dying, suddenly becomes aware of the great loss of having wasted his time and realizes that he has not done anything in this world for hereafter. This state is depicted clearly in this verse of the Holy Quran, where it says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. And be not like those who forsook God, so He made them forsake their own souls, and such are the transgressors.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo kashti of Panjoreva. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju tishnagi avar bedas. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad ab az bala va as. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy will God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah. Now that we here feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. Feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
At this time, that those people who have had a great loss and have come to understand but late, they regret what they have lost. أن تقول نفس يا حسرة على ما فرطت في جنب الله. Lest a soul should say, oh woe to me, for what I fell short of my duty to Allah, and most surely I was of those who laughed to scorn. وَإِن كُنْتُ لَمِنَ السَّاخِرِينَ. So, this is what we have come to understand, what we have come to recognize up to now. The first point is that a human need is determined genetically, and it will not let man alone to the last minute of his life. This leads man to resort to a power which could supply him with his needs. Now, what man has to do is to resort to Allah. What man has to do is to resort to the absolute cause. What he has to do is to understand how to engage in supplication. This is how he will be able to fill this natural gap. And the second point is that man has a God-seeking nature. Since man has experienced illusionary powers and the system of formal cause and effect and has observed their limitations, he is after an infinite and limitless power to resort to. It is, of course, in his nature, and he is after an invincible power which dominates all the creatures, all the creation. This is frequently observed that man at the time of a great despair and depression is absorbed to the unparalleled power of Allah. This state of affairs is repeatedly stated by different verses of the Holy Quran, which we will have a look at in the next episode. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
When faith begins. Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The U.S. home prices break records despite recession indicators. A national housing price index hit a new all-time high. even as interest rates and inflation continue to soar in the United States. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. RT noted, home prices in the U.S. hit record highs in July despite a forbidding economic climate and steep interest rates. According to the S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller House Price Index, parent company S&P Dow Jones Indices reported recently. The group's national home price, NSA Index, crept up 1% year-on-year in July, while its 10-city composite, which tracks major metropolitan areas, was up 0.9%. The 20-city composite increased by 0.1%, with 19 of the cities reporting gains and 18 showing those increases accelerating compared to June. All three indices were up from negative or zero growth, as reported for the previous month. Prices increased the most in Chicago, Cleveland, and New York City, despite ongoing population exoduses from those urban centers. Chicago saw a whopping 4.4% price increase over last July, despite losing 100,000 people in 2022 alone, while Cleveland, which only lost about 3,800 people in 2022, registered a 4% uptick. New York City saw the third highest price increase at 3.8%. Despite hemorrhaging more than 468,200 people, 5.3% of its population, since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, housing costs declined most in Las Vegas and Phoenix, two population centers in an area that has been experiencing increasingly dire water shortages for years due to overdevelopment. The Federal Housing Finance Agency's latest report showed an even steeper increase in home prices for July, up 4.4% compared to July 2022. Recently, the National Association of Retailers, NAR, reported that prices were up in all four regions of the United States, despite a marked decline in sales, which dropped 15.3% in August compared to August 2022. The NAR's chief economist and other analysts have attempted to explain the continued price increases in the face of soaring interest rates and daunting recession indicators as a result of low inventory, arguing that families who already have mortgages are loath to sell their houses in the current market because their locked-in rates from when they bought their homes are so much lower than current interest rates. Home prices will continue to increase barring general economic weakness or further surges in mortgage rates, S&P DJI Managing Director Greg Lazzara explained in the company's report, describing such an outlook as pessimistic. President Joe Biden has claimed he does not expect a recession on his watch, insisting the labor market is strong, even as economists have acknowledged inflation in the U.S. is growing even faster than previously predicted. According to Forbes, as temperatures begin to cool, the housing market continues to fizzle, with blisteringly high mortgage rates and scorching home prices becoming too hot to handle for many would-be home buyers in the United States. The national average 30-year fixed mortgage rates blasted through 7% in mid-August, reaching a 2023 high of 7.23%. According to Freddie Mac, as of September 21st, the average 30-year fixed mortgage rate stands at 7.19%. Meanwhile, year-over-year existing monthly home sales sagged in July for the second consecutive month, slipping by 2.2% to a six-month low, with all four major U.S. regions posting year-over-year sales declines, according to the National Association of Retailers. Despite ultra-high mortgage rates and home prices, the market remains as competitive as ever thanks to demand levels surpassing the ongoing inventory crunch. These and other factors perpetuate the crisis storm that continues to sideline many aspiring homeowners. Housing market activity remains weak overall, thanks to high mortgage rates, elevated home prices, and constrained housing inventory. A trifecta of headwinds perpetuating the housing affordability crisis. At the same time, high inflation and more interest rates hikes still hang in the air. Forbes added, the Fed decided not to raise the federal funds rate at its September meeting, opting instead to maintain its current range between 5.25% and 5.5%. The federal funds rate is the rate financial institutions lend to each other overnight. A Fed rate hike indirectly impacts long-term home loans, such as 30-year fixed-rate mortgages. Fed projections suggest the terminal federal funds rate will reach 5.6% by the end of 2023, implying at least one more rate increase this year. Consequently, many experts forecast mortgage rates remaining, 6% for the remainder of this year. Mortgage rates took off in mid-July and hardly looked back, with the average 30-year fixed rate peaking at 7.23%. The week of August 24th, this rate is the highest since March 2022 and comes in the wake of Federal Reserve policymakers voting to raise the federal funds rate by 25 basis points at the committee's July meeting, the 11th rate increase since the Fed began its inflation battle in March 2022. A basis point is 1/100th, a 1 percentage point.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Here at The Key and IRIB English Radio, we would like to offer our esteemed listeners a heartfelt congratulations, because as you know, this week marks the Week of Unity, which is a week in which Muslims come together, put aside their differences, and unite together. This is very important, and today on The Key, we're going to be talking about why is it that unity is important. When we refer to the Holy Quran, we see that unity is actually something that goes back to human nature, or the fitrah, and we know that The fitra, or the human nature, is a divine nature. We Muslims are of the belief that, contrary to other religions such as Christianity, we believe that human nature is essentially good. Human nature is essentially monotheistic. Sin is something, and sin and disobedience to God, these are things that are contrary to human nature. Human beings are essentially good. And therefore, we put these two premises together, we can conclude that this unity, it is something, a unity between the different sects within Islam, and unity of human beings in general, is something divine. It's something that it lies within the theomorphic nature of the human being. For example, when we refer to the Holy Quran, we find the following verse: mankind were but a single community, then they differed. Right? So in this verse of the Holy Quran, we see that that primordially in the past, before human nature became corrupted, human beings were harmonious and united, and there was no kind of difference between them. In commentating on this verse, Imam Baqir alayhi salam said the following: Before Prophet Noah alayhi salam, they, meaning mankind, were a single community upon the fitra of Allah, upon the nature of Allah, neither guided nor in error. Then Allah sent the prophets. Right? So here we see that the Imam says that this unity of humanity is something embedded within the divine fitra or the divine nature of Allah. It's interesting to know that, you know, historically, anthropologists, you know, a lot of them have studied tribes, indigenous tribes of certain countries, such as the Indians in North America and these kind of places, one thing that they took note of is that, you know, first of all, there was no monetary system in these kind of societies, and people within these kind of indigenous tribes, they would share everything that they had, right? And they didn't have a concept of ownership and money and these kind of things, and rather they kind of, whatever they had, they shared with one another, and this is how they survived. But this is kind of reinforces this kind of this idea that, you know, this unity between human beings, it's something within the fitra or the divine theomorphic nature that human beings were, that God created human beings in. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at unity and its basis within the fitra or the human nature. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israeli forces shoot dead a Palestinian youth near the city of Al Bira in the occupied West Bank. Regime forces also clash with resistance fighters in Tulkarem. Chinese Foreign Minister